I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Text messages coming in on the Urquhart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. One person says the reason people are spending more is because the cost of everything has risen, not because we're making more. It's simply everyday goods needed for survival have skyrocketed. And you're not wrong. We've seen that definitely in recent history. The good news is, and it's tempered good news, that the rate of inflation has dropped to about 3%. That means the price of everything is still going up, but it's going up less than it was. Instead of going up 7% or 9%, it's now going up 3%. At the same time, spending has gone up 5%, according to the most recent statistics, while pay across the board, on average, has only gone up 3%. So people are making more, but they're also spending more, and we'll see how long this model can sustain itself. It is vastly expected that the Fed will start cutting interest rates in 16 days when they meet next, because it looks like the thing that the economy has stabilized. But one person texted us and said the Federal Reserve has been talking about cutting interest rates for almost a year. Yeah, they have been, but an overwhelming majority of economists expect they'll actually do it this time. We'll wait and see if it's a quarter point or half a point. Meanwhile, banks are definitely expecting it because mortgage rates have dropped to a 16-month low. They're still way higher than we saw right before the pandemic, but they're at least coming down to a 16-month low. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. Thanks for spending part of your Labor Day with us here on WWL. And thanks to Henry Hartevelt, a travel industry analyst at Atmosphere Research Group, a travel industry market research firm, because we're not only talking about labor and the economy on this Labor Day, but a lot of people are traveling over the long holiday weekend. Henry, thanks for joining us and spending part of your Labor Day with us here on WWL.
Well, good morning, and thanks for inviting me.
We keep hearing about record number of people flying, about increases in the number of people driving. Overall, are we seeing more people than ever at a time when expensive travel has become, or travel has not been immune from the inflation that we've been seeing? Are we seeing more people than ever traveling despite the inflation and the increased cost?
Well, the forecasts for the weekend have shown that they expect as much as 9% more people traveling for Labor Day this year than last. I'm waiting to just see how it all shakes out in terms of actual numbers. Gas prices are actually down compared to last year, and airfares, believe it or not, are also down slightly compared to last year for Labor Day. So both of those work in travelers' favors.
Yeah, those are encouraging. If you want to drive somewhere or fly somewhere, that it'll cost you less to get there in terms of filling the tank or buying those tickets. What about hotel costs and the other related costs? Because when you're traveling, you got to stay somewhere, and you got to eat, and you got to rent a car, and there's so many other things that often go into it.
Right. Very good question. So lodging really is going to depend on where you are traveling and how popular it is. And look, the hotel industry has built more rooms, so rates are fairly stable. In some cases, they're actually down. There are also options like VRBO and Airbnb, which give travelers more choice and provide options to save money. Food is going to be more expensive. You know, we see it in our supermarkets when we go shopping. We know that restaurants are paying more, and labor is definitely more expensive for restaurants. So it's going to be a wash. But if you are a careful traveler, and if you are willing to go to places that may be less expensive, what we call proxy travel, going to a place that has almost everything you want, even if it's not your first choice destination, you can still save.
You talked about Airbnb and VRBO renting other people's homes or apartments instead of going to a traditional hotel. Frequently, and in most cases, that comes with, if not a kitchenette, a full kitchen and the opportunity to prepare more of your own meals if you want to save money that way instead of eating all of your meals out. How has that changed the face of travel? And what are the trends in terms of are more people trying Airbnb and VRBO, and what portion of the lodging that we see for vacationers does that account for?
Well, yes, more people are using those services, although it has fallen since the pandemic, and the growth is not where Airbnb and VRBO, I think, would like to see it. And you're right. One of the big appeal that you get with these places is you're renting either an entire apartment or condo or an entire house. So especially if you're traveling with friends or family, you have more space, possibly more privacy, and a way to save money. But there have been some problems with some of these places. Sometimes the hosts are not accurate in their descriptions. And something to be wary of, some hosts impose really steep cleaning fees, which are frankly a money grab. Sometimes the savings aren't quite as good as you would think.
Yeah, that's an interesting point you make. You have to watch what you're actually going to end up paying, not only the nightly rate, but what they're going to charge you for any additional fees, whether it be cleaning. You call that a money grab, but don't they have to pay someone to clean that property before the next guest comes?
Of course they do. But, you know, when you are being charged sometimes $125 or $150 or more to clean a one-bedroom apartment for a three-day stay, that just seems like a lot. When most cleaning costs are probably going to be in the $50 to $75 range based on the research that I've done. Obviously, larger homes are going to be more expensive. But look, hotels charge us those annoying resort or destination fees. And I'll just tell you, the travel industry, especially hotel operators, they don't really care about their guests. They're out to make a buck. They don't care about your wallet. They care about their bottom line.
Of course, they want a good review because that impacts their bottom line, but I understand the point you're making. So do you know at this point what portion of the travel industry or the lodging industry Airbnb and VRBO have taken from hotels?
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I would have to double check. My focus is primarily on the airline sector.
Gotcha. Okay.
But we know that in the past, Airbnb and VRBO have attracted 10% or more of travelers. And so it's certainly a critical mass. And look, it's popular. You may be in a better neighborhood. Like I said, more room, more privacy, ability to save money on food. And you may have amenities that you enjoy, you know, pools or media rooms or other things like that that aren't available in a hotel.
And we also heard that many of the hotel operators have started buying Airbnbs and VRBO properties because they want a piece of that action as well. So there is that. You said you're focused on airlines, so let's talk a little bit more about that. They expected a record number of Labor Day travelers going through TSA checkpoints this Labor Day weekend. Has some of the – because we did deal with a time where there was a drop in people participating in air travel. Does it appear that people are ready more than ever now to return to flying to their destinations and willing to put up with the inconveniences that come with that and going through security, all the bag fees that are now becoming such a reality, and having then, if you don't drive your car to where you're going, having to rent a car or find other means of getting around?
Right. Look, absolutely. The notion of what we call revenge travel, that surge of travel that occurred in the wake of the COVID pandemic, is over and done with. Comparing travel now to the immediate COVID era or past that is almost academic. People love to travel. Travelers prioritize saving for travel in their budgets. And yes, we are willing to accept the reality, the indignity in some cases of modern day air travel, long lines at security, long lines at the concessions, long lines to get on the plane, the struggle for overhead bin space and so on. The reality is that we don't really have much of an option for intercity travel, especially if you're going a long distance in this country. We don't have high-speed rail like in other parts of the world. So, you know, unless you want to drive, airline travel is your only option. But look, airlines are working to be more on time. They have hired all the pilots they need for now. They've got other staff members. They're, you know, so that part is good. The concern that I have, airlines aren't getting the new airplanes they expect. That means they're flying older planes longer. And it also means that some of their growth is going to be constrained.
You know, it's funny you talk about the options because I recently traveled from New Orleans to the greater Orlando area. We ended up staying on the Atlantic coast of Florida. But it's about a 12-hour drive from New Orleans to Orlando. And we decided I had some airline miles I had to use because they were expiring. So we decided to go ahead and fly. Hadn't flown in years. We flew, and it took us, by the time we left the house, parked the car, took the shuttle to the airport, got through security, waited for the plane, dealt with a delay, got on the plane, got there, got off, got the luggage, went and got the rental car, and got to our condo, took us about 12 hours. So, you know,
you make a really, really good point, which is that we think, well, we know objectively that the flight is going to be shorter than driving, but the total elapsed travel time, which we don't always focus on, can really add up. And if you don't live close to the airport, if you have to drive an hour or more to your local airport and you have to go through the search for parking and all of the things that you just mentioned, that total elapsed travel time can sometimes be almost as long as driving.
That all having been said, it looks like we are seeing a bit of a renaissance for the airlines right now, and they seem to be on more sound footing, huh, than they were not too long ago.
That's correct. And look, I'm a Tulane graduate, so I know New Orleans, and I keep a focus on the city. The airport is continuing to attract airlines. It's a popular leisure destination. So one thing that's good for New Orleans is you've got a bunch of budget airlines that service the airport. That helps keep prices down on other airlines, too.
Yeah, no doubt. We're seeing additional airlines and additional flights being added pretty consistently now at Armstrong International. So it looks like people are happy with flying, at least more than they were during that time when there was kind of a pushback against flying and airlines. Henry Hartevelt, travel industry analyst at Atmosphere Research Group. Anything else you want to mention on this Labor Day 2024 as we kind of look at how we're vacationing and what our travel forecast looks like?
Well, the one thing I would just say is if you are traveling today, hopefully it'll be good. Beware there are some storms expected in Texas, which could affect people flying to or through some of the big hubs there. But something I'm keeping my eye on is United Airlines. Its flight attendants have authorized a strike. They won't be able to strike for a long time, but their flight attendants are threatening an action they call chaos, which are these random union-sanctioned walkouts and other actions that could disrupt travel. So just be careful.
So particularly if you have a upcoming flight on United, of course, right?
Correct.
All right. Henry, thanks for joining us, and always good to talk to someone who spent some time here in New Orleans and enjoyed their time. Thank you so much for being a part of our program on this Labor Day.
Thank you.
I'm Dave Cohen, in for Tommy Tucker. Your calls and texts, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line as we put a bow on this program coming up next here on WWL.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.